John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And we'll stop right there. There's much more in this chapter. And there's more in just the four verses I read you than I could ever preach out. But I want to go back to verse 1 and the first line of verse 1. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Seem like this is the little thought that's been on our heart is trouble. And there's not a one of us that have not had it.
Amen.
And if it's not been to your house yet, look out.
Yeah.
It's on its way.
Amen.
And but John wrote here, and the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. So I'd like to look at some folks that had trouble, and let's just see what happened to them and what they did with it. Now we read in the Bible about a fellow named Eli. He was a priest. And his father had been a priest, and that was to tradition in his family, was that the men in his family be a priest. And he was over Israel and was over the tabernacle. And we read about Elkanah and his wife Hannah, I believe it was, and how she prayed for a son. And the Lord gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. And she promised the Lord before she ever conceived that if he would give her a man child, she would give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. And so when the child was weaned, she brought him down and presented him to the tabernacle and to Eli to serve the priest. And we read about Eli, and he had children of his own. He had two boys. He had Hophni and Phinehas. And these two boys were ordained to be a priest, but according to God's word, they didn't know the Lord. They were the sons of Belial. And they took advantage of God's people. The tradition was, whenever you made your supplication or you made your request to the priest to get your sins pardoned and forgiven, and you brought your sacrifice down in those days, you couldn't come to the altar. You had to go to the priest, and you had to give your sacrifice. And the priest took the sacrifice, and they boiled the sacrifice until it was seething. And then they took the blood from that sacrifice, and the priest went into the holiest of holies and sprinkled that on the altar and prayed for your sins to be forgiven. When Jesus came, he did away with that. We can approach him directly, and we can ask him to forgive us for ourselves.
Amen.
Now, Hophni and Phinehas were priests, but they didn't act like priests. Did you know everybody that carries a Bible and everybody that calls themselves a minister or a preacher is not called of God?
Amen.
Though such were these two men. When people brought their sacrifice, instead of waiting until the meat was seething and being boiled, and to me, seething would be the meat just about falling plumb off of the bone. But instead of waiting until they were supposed to go get the priest's portion, tradition said they would take like a flesh hook, is what they called it. In my mind, it's a hook or a pronged or fork or whatever you want to see. And they would stick that down in the cauldron, and they would pull it back out, and whatever came back on the flesh hook was the priest's portion. But Hophni and Phinehas were greedy. Hophni and Phinehas wanted more. So rather than wait until your sacrifice was boiling and seething, they went whenever it was raw, and they put the flesh hook in, and they pulled it out. Well, you know what happens to meat before it's cooked and meat after it's cooked. They're going to get far greater a portion than they deserve. That's what men are looking for in this life. And I've seen preachers, and we read about them all the time, that use the office of a minister, the office of a pastor, to get far more than they deserve. And I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter how much money is in my bank account. That will not get me ahead in life. And if you want to know the honest truth, if I'm going to tell you the truth about the whole matter, money is not important. The Lord has already given me far more than I deserve.
That's right.
Bless him, Lord. Help him, Jesus.
Moreover, these two men would see the women down by the door of the tabernacle, and they would approach them, and they would lay with them. And they were an importance. They brought shame to their office. And the Lord sent a man to warn Eli and to tell him. And Eli's trouble began when the Lord sent a man to warn him. And then we read about the lad Samuel that was in the house of the Lord. And let me tell you this about Samuel. We may look to the great King David. We may look to men in this life that have great amount of fame and of money. I'd rather my boys be like the little lad Samuel. You know what was special about Samuel? I would that my life measured up to the life of Samuel. You know why I say such a thing? Because we read one verse in the Bible about Samuel. It's not where he anointed David to be king. It's not where he anointed Saul to be king. It's this verse. It said he never let the words of the Lord fall to the ground. I would hope that in my lifetime, every time the Lord spoke to me, I said yes, and I did what he asked me to do. How many times have I failed him and let him down and down crept in instead of just saying, yes, Lord, I'll go, I'll do for you.
Amen.
Eli's trouble started when he was warned. And you know what he did after he was warned? You know what he did after he knew how his boys were acting and what they were doing? And it's my suspicion that he probably already knew. But you know what he did? Nothing. He did nothing. So the Lord used Samuel, the little lad. We read where the Lord spoke to Samuel when he's just a little bitty boy and called his name. And Samuel didn't realize it was God. And he heard the voice and he went to Eli and he said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. And the Lord called again. Aren't you glad he calls more than once?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad he's merciful?
Amen.
And he went to Eli and Samuel, and he said, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back and lay back down.
Yes.
And he called the third time. I won't preach to you. I know why the Lord had to call him three times. This is why. Ere the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle, Eli's vision was dimmed. He may have had 20/20 eyesight, but his spiritual vision was dim. How could you say such a thing, preacher? You never even met the man. Because when it came to his children, he put them above the will of God.
Right. Amen.
It's not my way. It's God's way. Always.
Yes.
And when you go some other way than God's way, look for trouble.
Amen.
You see, friend, we've got a responsibility. Parents, grandparents, we've got a responsibility. If the Lord placed a child in your life, He expects you to be responsible for that child's salvation. He expects you to take that child and have it seated under the gospel. He expects you to let them hear you pray. You know what? My mom and dad never left me a great deal of money. My mom and dad never gave me a car. My mom and dad never gave me a job. But you know what I heard many a night right before I put my head on my pillow? I heard my mom and dad pray and call my name. I would take $1 million for all the prayers that my parents prayed for a little sinner boy like me. When you don't train your child, let me just say this. Did you know worshiping the Lord goes against a man's nature?
That's right. Yeah.
Worshiping the Lord, singing God's praises, goes against this fleshly nature. The flesh says, me and mine. But if you're going to worship the Lord, you got to put Him first.
Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And when we don't teach our children that God comes first, look for trouble. When we don't teach them to seek God's will in their life and to follow His leadership and His guidance, there's going to be trouble coming. There was trouble coming to Eli and his sons. The Lord spoke again to Samuel. He said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make the ears of everybody in Israel tingle. He said, I've not forgotten the sin that's in the house of Eli, and there shall not be a single man of his family live to be in old age. I wish I could quote it exactly. I can't. It bothers me when I can't. Oh, but trouble had been pronounced upon the house of Eli. Now, if Eli had been smart, if Eli had done what he knew he should have done, when the man came to warn him, he'd have called them boys out on their sin, and he'd have said, boys, we need to repent. We need to pray. Oh, listen, trouble is going to come your way. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
But that didn't occur to Eli. We read where that Israel got in a battle. I believe it was against the Philistines. It's been a long time since I read it. And in the battle, they were struggling. And they called for the ark. And here came, the ark came into the camp of the Israelites, and there were the Philistines across the way. And when the ark came into the camp, a shout rang out from Israel, and it was loud enough to make the earth ring. You ever been to these concerts? You ever been to a big football game or anything like that? I go down there to the games at UT, and they've got a decibel count up on the sign that tells how loud all those people are. And they try to get you to be louder and louder and louder to raise that decibel count.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I believe the shout that went out from Israel when the ark came in the camp
was enough to make the earth ring. I believe it was louder than anything Neyland Stadium has ever been seen. I believe it was louder than any speakers and any concert that you've ever been to. I believe it was enough. I know it was enough because it scared the Philistines. The shout that rang out scared the Philistines. What was the shout? What is the ark? The ark contained the history of Israel. The ark contained all the stories of how God had delivered over and over and over and over. Right here it is. And when it, thank you, Lord. When it comes into the camp down in Dutch Bottoms, you need to shout because God's given you the privilege to be near it one more time.
Amen. That's good, man. Yeah.
That's so
praise
good.
The Lord.
Thanks, the Lord.
This is not here to hurt us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So if you're in the camp when the ark comes around, the Lord is sending the gospel to save your people.
Praise the Lord.
Down to the battlefield, and they called for the ark. Guess who was in charge of bringing the ark? Two men that were unqualified. Hophni and Phinehas. Eli's sons. Preacher, I wish you'd get out of that Old Testament stuff. I will when the Lord tells me to. And guess what happened? Because two men... Did you know that a man that's going to pick up God's word and say he's a preacher has to meet some qualifications?
Amen.
It's a Wednesday night, preacher. Let's flip right over here. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. My preaching brethren, is this a good work?
Amen.
Are you glad when the Lord will let you stand? Amen. And he uses you and you feel his spirit and his power. Amen. And you know that it was him. You couldn't have done it on your own. It had to be God. Oh, there's no better work than to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here's your qualifications. We only hear one, but there's more than one. A bishop thus men be blameless. I shouldn't take sides. I need to go right down the middle.
Right.
Here's the one we hear. The husband of one wife. And that's the one everybody throws around. This is how I see that. And yes, I don't intend on ever having another woman married to me legally other than Tammy Strange. But did you know this is a spiritual book? And these scriptures has a spiritual meaning. If I am the pastor at Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church, this is the bride of Christ. And this is the only one that I need. I don't need to be looking for another one. I don't need to be looking for a bigger church. I don't need to be looking for another one that pays more money. This is it. This is the one God put me in. And as long as he'll let me stay here, I'll be right here with you. Thank you, Lord. Preaching you the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
that's
Jesus.
That's good, man.
Thank you, Lord.
That's not all. Vigilant. You see, there's a lot more to it than just standing behind the podium. You might say industrious. Sober. I'm not going to be joining you down at the bridge after church tonight. But I believe we need to be sober-minded as well.
Amen.
Of good behavior. If you hear tales of me that I beat my neighbor out of his money, that I've stolen off of him, that I've cheated on my wife, that I beat her down, that I've disqualified myself if I do that. Given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine. No striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, must he have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. You see, you got to live right to preach the gospel. Hophni and Phinehas brought the Ark of the Covenant down into the battlefield, and Israel thought, sure, they would win now that the ark was present. But if the man that handles it is disqualified, you've got trouble. The Philistines took the ark. Hophni and Phinehas was both killed in the battle. And Eli sat upon the stump, I believe it was. One escaped and come running to Eli with earth on his head. What does that mean, preacher? You want to know how we lose the battle? We have this old stuff and the things that affects it on our mind instead of the things of God. And the man with earth on his head told Eli that the ark, that he said, your sons is both dead. They've been killed in the battle. And you know that had to make Eli's heart sink. How would it affect you to hear your child has died? But that wasn't what caused Eli's death. They said, and the ark, it's gone. And when Eli heard that, he fell off the stump and broke his neck. You see, he could have escaped trouble if he'd have disrepented when he was warned. How often do we leave church and say, boy, that was a good message. But it's not the hearer that's justified. It's the doer. Let not your heart be troubled. Seems like I'm preaching to the preachers tonight. I'll get to you too. I want you to go down, the Lord said. And I want you to preach to them folks down there at Nineveh. And Jonah said, them people don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know a thing about you. They're not of the house of Israel. And so you know what Jonah did. He went his own way. He went a different way. He paid the fare and got on the ship sailing for Tarshish and said, I'm not going to do it. Have y'all ever said, I'm not going to go? I'm not going to preach down there. They'll not have what I preach. They'll not accept me. I remember one time, and you pray on for just a few minutes. I remember one time before I ever pastored, I got a phone call on a Sunday afternoon to a church over in Granger County, and I didn't know the old boy. He said, our pastor resigned. We don't have a clue what we're going to do. Would you come and preach to us? And I was scared to death. I had never heard tell of the church before. I didn't know a single soul that went to that church. Just a young preacher. Satan said, they'll not have you.
Yeah.
And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I said, yeah, I'll come. And I was just supposed to come for one service. And I was supposed to go the following Sunday night. And I was carrying that stuff and I was troubled. And I sat down where Philip's sitting right now on the front pew. And the Sunday school teacher got up and he read from Acts about where the Lord sent Paul down. And Paul was afraid to go. And the Lord said, I've got many people in that city. And I said, thank you, Lord. See, the Sunday school teacher didn't know, but God did.
That's right.
I went, I helped them out. They found him a pastor, and the Lord blessed them. I went and preached about a month till they could kind of get a beat and figure out what they wanted to do. God blessed. We had some good services, a good spirit.
Yeah.
And the third Sunday I was there on Sunday morning, while I was preaching, if boys has ever done you this way, I'll get to the rest of you here in a few minutes. Just hold your horses. Has the Lord ever done you this way while you was preaching? The Lord speak to you right in the middle of your message. He spoke to me. He said, this is it. He said, this is not where you're going to be. There wasn't a thing I could do. Just say, okay, Lord. Jonah, it ain't going to do you no good to run. He thought he'd beat the system. He thought he'd got out of that. But a storm grew up. And the sailors did all they could do. They threw away the tackling. They threw away everything in the ship, just trying to keep her afloat. Meanwhile, the old fellow that had disobeyed God was down there asleep. You see, no man liveth to himself. And no man died. Well, what I do don't affect nobody. As a matter of fact, nobody knows. God does.
Amen.
And you can't fool your mate. Did you know that?
That's right.
They know whether you're right with God or not.
Amen. Amen.
You can't even fool the church. Did you know that? They woke Jonah up. And Jonah lied to them. He said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. No, you don't. If you feared God, you'd have never got on that ship.
Sure.
You don't fear the Lord, Jonah. If you feared the Lord when the storm came, you'd begin to pray instead of sleeping. You see, when the storm blew in, Jonah's trouble started. He thought he'd just get out of it. He'd sail away when that didn't work. I'm sure in here he said, I'll just die. Just throw me overboard. This is all my fault. Just throw me overboard. It'll be over with. I'll drown in the depths of the sea. You'll sail on safe home and everything will be all right. When they did all they knew to do, they got a hold of Jonah and they did what Jonah requested. They threw him overboard. And I believe the second they lost sight of Jonah, the storm ceased. And Jonah thought for just an instant, just a second, I'm done. But God had other plans, didn't he? God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You say it's not possible for a whale to swallow a human. The one that God prepared was able to. If God says it's so, it's so.
Amen.
Jonah didn't know what trouble was till the fish swallowed him.
Read Jonah chapter 2. Out of the belly of hell cried I. You see, trouble is going to come, and we bring a lot of it on ourselves. Eli brought his trouble on himself because he refused. Because his children were vile, and he restrained them not. Now that's right straight out of God's word. That's not mine. That's not my opinion. That's what the King James Version Bible says. Jonah brought his problems on himself. He brought trouble on himself because he refused to do God's will. But Jonah was a little smarter than Eli. Jonah hit his knees. And he remembered the vows that he had made. How'd it go for you boys, preacher boys? The Lord said, you're going to preach. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Did you tell him that?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of the vow I made him. When I was an 18-year-old boy, I didn't start preaching until I was in my 30s. Almost 40-year-old. You see, he'd bother me with it. I'd back off. And when I'd repent and get up and get to going, I never did get out of church. But I always went where I needed to be. When I'd get real close to the God, he'd bring it back to me. When I was about 18, I just graduated high school. I was at Walter State. My dad was 42, and you've heard me tell it. I'd worked all night at Food City. It was on a Sunday morning. I come in, and my dad had got up to go across the living room, and he didn't make it. He fell to his knees and grabbed his chest, and his chest was hurting him really bad. And I talked him in. Me and Mom talked him into going to the emergency room. We took him out at Hammond. They got him on a stretcher. And the doctor said he's having a massive heart attack and told us to tell him our goodbyes. And there was a great big wooden crate that was about 3 feet high or so. I'd worked all night. And I got up on top of that wooden crate. And I sat down, and I pulled my knees to my chest, and I closed my eyes, and in here I began to pray. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me just a few more years with him, and here's my mistake. This is what the Lord reminded me of. I said, if you'll give me just a few more years, I'll do anything. You know what the Lord reminded me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, remember what you told me?
Yeah.
Help him, Lord. Bless him, Jesus.
Dad was 42 when that happened.
Yeah.
He died. He did die. He died about 2.5 years ago. He was 77.
Amen.
The Lord did what he said he'd do.
Uh-huh.
So I've got to do what I told the Lord I'd do.
Thank you, Lord. Bless his heart.
Jonah kneeled down and he prayed and he said, I remember my vows this day. And he prayed. What are you going to do with the trouble that's facing you? Are you going to try to handle it on your own like Eli? Or are you going to pray and repent and beg God to help you? When Jonah repented, the Lord caused the fish to vomit him out on dry ground. It was a 3-day journey to Nineveh, and Jonah made it in one. I believe he was more than glad to go when he repented. He didn't act a preaching hour.
He didn't have to bring a long sermon. He didn't have to have 3 and 4 syllable words. He didn't have to use logic and men's wisdom. He used the power of God and preached one of the shortest messages you ever read in the Bible. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be on the throne. And the king heard the message. And he declared a fast. And he got down in sackcloth and ashes and commanded everybody in Nineveh. Now listen, you may not think of Nineveh as much. They weren't God's children. They weren't the children of Israel. They didn't know their right hand from their left. But here's what God said about them when he told Jonah to go. He called them a great city. He loved those people so much. They had trouble come their way too, didn't they? They were going to be destroyed. But here's what they did when trouble came their way. They got down in sackcloth. They got down in ashes. And they repented. And God saved them. If you'll repent, God can take care of your trouble.
Amen. Let... You ever lost a night's sleep because of trouble? Boy, I have. I didn't have to. I should have believed God's word. Now, I told you when I started, if trouble's not been to your house, it's on its way. That's not to say that you've drunk a fifth of liquor and God knows about it. That's not to say that you've been an adulterer and God knows about it. That's not to say that you've beat your fellow man out of a dollar and God knows about it. You may have prayed every time God came by and said pray. You may have read your Bible. Here's the word, religiously. You may have done everything God told you and be right in the center of God's will. You're still going to have trouble. It's still going to come your way. Marvel not if the world hate you, for it hated me before it hated you. Did Jesus have any sin?
No.
No, he didn't, did he? Did Jesus love everybody?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And guess what? Trouble came his way. Job said this, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He didn't say you'd have a little bit. He said you'd be filled up. He was such a righteous man that when Satan came by in the presence of the Lord and the Lord asked him where he'd been, he'd said, I've been going up and down and to and fro in the earth. He wasn't talking about the dirt outside that the grass grows in. He was talking about the dust of the earth right here. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and upright man? We look to Christ. I know we're supposed to be Christ-like. If I could be like Samuel and never let the words of the Lord fall to the ground, I'd say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If I could be like Job, where the Lord just said, look, Satan, there's a man that fears the Lord and escheweth evil, I'd be well satisfied. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, another, just my words. Well, yes, I have. But I can't do a thing with him. You've got a hedge about him. Do you believe God loves Job more than he did you? No. I have 3 boys. They're all different. They have different personalities. They got different likes and dislikes.
But I love them all. God loves all his children the same too. I've seen parents make a difference between children. God don't do that.
No.
He loves us all. Let me just recommend to you Job. And Satan said, I can't do a thing with him. There's a hedge about it. How did that hedge come by? Well, God put it around him. I'm going to say Job had a little something to do with it too. If you don't pray, you're letting the hedge down. If you don't read your Bible, you're letting the hedge down. In other words, the recipe for trouble, stop praying, stop reading your Bible, and stop thinking about the blessings of God. When you leave God out, trouble's on its way. I'm trying my best to hurry. I'm sorry.
No, don't hurry.
I'm going to do the best I can for him. Let not your heart be troubled. You know Job's story. In one day, he lost his oxen, he lost his sheep, he lost his camels, he lost his children. And this is what he had to say. Would you be troubled if that happened to you? This is what Job had to say. This was his response. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And in all that, Job sinned not or cursed not God with his lips. He didn't blame God. I've seen folks, they lose a child. I used to pastor a young couple, lost a child, and the dad blamed God. He got put out of church and backslid for years. He was angry, said God had taken his child. Oh, let me tell you something. If God gave it to me, it's his, and he can take it from me. And who am I to question God? Who knows what the future holds but God?
That's right.
Satan, you failed. Job's still faithful.
Yes.
He lost it all. And he's still faithful. Could you do that? Well, skin for skin. Let me just take Job's health. Think so you have everything that he's got except his life. You can't take that. I might go home tonight and my house be burned to the ground. All my children and my wife gone dead. The bank take everything else I owe and then fire me from my job. But I'll always be saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
All right.
Bless him, Lord.
So Job was cursed with sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And when his friends see him, he's sitting down there in the middle of a dusty road, covered in dust and sore boils, and his countenance is so bad, they don't even recognize him. And the first thing that his friend says, you must have sinned. Surely you have let the Lord down. You must have disobeyed him. The Lord would not send this on somebody that was in the center of his will. Surely you must have obeyed him. You must have disobeyed him. Now let's flip on over. I don't want it to be too long. I don't want to try too long. Let's go to the end of the book. Let me just get this. There he is. He's lost everything. He's covered in sore boils, sitting in the middle of a dusty road, and his wife got discouraged. You see, even she gave up. You ever had a friend that you thought would be right there for you? Somebody would stick right by your side, and come to find out when trouble came, they were nowhere around. She said, why don't you just curse God and die?
Look what's happened, Job. Everything we had is gone. Those boys and girls that we love so dearly, they don't breathe any longer. The wind capsized that home and they died. And here we are alone. Why don't you, Job, just curse God and die? Oh, and you know what Job had to say? He had every right to have that chip on his shoulder knocked off. He had every right to have a pity party and say, oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. But he said, you talk like one of the foolish women.
And we have those. And I'm not talking about these ladies sitting here. I'm talking about these churches that say, if God blesses you with money, you must be in the center of His will. That's those foolish women.
That's right.
I know listen, folks don't like that. That's all right. You can go home and watch Joel Osteen after a while.
There you go.
All of white and all that crap.
Bless him.
Chapter 42. The Lord was not satisfied with Job's friends. And the Lord spoke to them. And they said, you need to go and make sacrifice because you have spoken ill of my servant Job. And when Job found out what the Lord had told his friends, you know what Job did? He didn't pray that God would heal his broken heart. He didn't pray that God would bless him again. He didn't even pray that God, and he had prayed that God would take his life. He had prayed that, but that's not what he prayed when he heard about his friends. When Job heard that the Lord had taken exception with his friends, he got down on his knees and he said, Lord, help my brothers. Oh, be with them, Lord. Forgive them. And you know what happened? Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friends. We're not here to take care of ourselves. We're here to see to it about the welfare of our friends and loved ones. And if we'll pray for one another, God will deliver from trouble.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. And I believe it says, and you all probably know better than I do, Job received twice as much as he did before all this befell.
Yeah.
You may know of somebody that's been blessed with money, wealth, a fine home, and you'd say God has really blessed him. Has he? Has he? I like the little song, don't you? I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear and food to eat. God has been so good to me. I like the song Faith sung tonight. God has been good to me, so good to me. Yes, He is good to me. Hey, can you say that? So good to me. God has been good, so good. He's so good to me. I like the song Wendy sang, something. God is still good when the days are bad. Oh, friend. If He said He'd never leave you and never forsake you, I believe He's been good to you. If He said He'd supply you every need, I believe He's been good to you. See, in all the things, now, I didn't read where Jonah lost his family. You see, Job suffered more than about anybody we read about in the Bible. Yet he never blamed God. He never quit. He never gave up. He didn't let his heart be troubled. I don't know what you had to deal with today. I don't know what you had to deal with this week. But just remember, If I opened the blinds, you wouldn't see the sun shining right now, would you? It'd be dark. And we'll go home here in a few minutes. And you'll take off these clothes and you'll put on your bed clothes and you'll go to bed. And if God graces us with it, the sun will come up and we'll have a new day. The trouble you're facing today might not even be around tomorrow. Do you know that? Who was the man? You may remember. Who was the man? He had the letter and he spread it out. I cannot think of his name. Surrounded by the Assyrian army. Somebody say it back there. Hezekiah. Surrounded by the Assyrian army. They'd cut them off. The people were starving to death. And sent a cherub, sent a letter down to Hezekiah and God's people, saying, "We've run over every nation that we've rolled through. What makes you think your God's going to do any different? You feel like that trouble's just about to do you in? Let not your heart be troubled." You see, Hezekiah went to bed. And when he got up the next morning, I believe it was 180,000 men were dead corpses. 180,000 Assyrians that had the city surrounded, and all God had to do was breathe. Your trouble is nothing to God. Yet he loves you enough till he's got the answer for it. Does that mean he's just going to take away my trouble? No. Ask Paul. Paul prayed thrice, didn't he? That God would remove the thorn. Did God take the thorn away? No, he didn't. But he gave him grace to get through it. We used to sing this song, and I'm about done. When I was at Rankin, Cindy and Chandra and Keela sung, "God will make this trial a blessing." Becky sings this song, "Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been." You ever look back and think you could have never made it?
That's right.
If God hadn't have been there and helped you through that trouble.
Amen.
How do you think we made it this far?
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to preach it. All that, I just want to read it to you. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." So if your trouble don't go away tomorrow, one day will be a new day. And we'll leave all the trouble.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
"If it were not so, I would have told you, I go away. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." Is there any room for doubt in that statement?
No.
"And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know." You know. You know if it's God. A Christian can't be fooled. If a spirit's not in it, it's not God. Amen?
Amen.
"And the way ye know." God's got it. He's got me.
Amen.
Let me just close with this. You know how we were created, don't you? He took a handful of dust and molded us and made us in his image and in his likeness. And then he breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. And he never took his hands off of us. He still got us. And he's still working on me. He has to straighten me out every once in a while. He has to sand off the rough edges. He has to put a little more kindness in my heart. He has to remind me every once in a while of who I am. You ever get down? Mm-hmm. He says, wait a minute, you're mine. I've still got you right here. I still love you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So if you got trouble, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. We quote this often, but we don't often believe it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. All the patriarchs of the Bible, all the great men and women that we've known in our lifetime that were saints of God, how'd they get that way? They had faith. And they held to his unchanging hand. Did they have trouble? Why, yes, they did. And you'll have it too. It's what we do with it. We need to repent. Let's repent. If we need to endure hardness. Is this not in the Bible? Endure hardness as a good soldier. Let not your heart be troubled.